This day, I truly believe that nobody is here by accident. Our steps are ordered of the Lord. You're here because God wants you here for His particular reasons. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter, that point is clearly illustrated. Many years ago, I was commissioned to go to a teacher training college. I didn't apply for it, but I went. I went there thinking that's why I was going there, to go to a teacher training college. But God had more on His mind than that. Because even though I went to the teacher training college, I never stepped into a classroom one day. The reason I was really there was so I could meet somebody else who wasn't planning on being there, but was sent there by the uncle. Because it was there that I met Mama. I thought I was going for one reason, but God had His reasons. You may be here today thinking you came here for a particular reason, but God has something else on His mind. Amen? God has something on His mind. And so it was in 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter, that the Word of God says, "Now there was a man of Benjamin." There was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Afia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. A mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So we've heard about his father, and now we hear a description of Saul. And basically, the Word of God saying this man was handsome. Very, very handsome. And tall. Then it says in verse 3, and they asked this of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. His animals were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, "Take now one of the servants with thee and arise, go seek the asses." And he passed through the Mount Ephraim. He passed through the Mount Ephraim. Ephraim means double fruitfulness or an ash heap. Now, when a word, a name has two meanings, I stop to consider what the Lord is trying to say. Because here in life, we have choices. We decide which way The dice is going to roll, in a sense, by the choices we make. Whether your life is going to move up or go down, it's a decision. Now, we have a description of this man, Saul, and his handpicked of God for the Israelites. Now, the reason he's handpicked of God for the Israelites is because that's what they wanted. They wanted this kind. They wanted their own king. Now, Saul and David, time does not permit me right now, are two that are going to be chosen of God. David is leaving at the same time period as Saul. And all the people of Israel needed to do is wait. And David will come to his place at the right time. But no, they want to do it their way. And so many times, we can make choices that seem good on the outside. Everything lines up. But it's a wrong decision. It's going to be a costly decision. It's going to be a decision that's going to create a whole lot of mess. And just waiting could have turned things around. So it can become double fruitfulness. It can become a heap of ashes. Are you with me? It's a decision. So he came through Ephraim, and he goes on, the Bible tells us, and passed through the land of Shalisha, which means a third, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shahalim. That word Shalim here sounds so similar to the word Shalom, but it's not the same word. They're two different words. Because this word here, Shahalim, is a word for fox. Are you with me? And they were not there. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites. He passed through the land of the Benjamites. Son of my right hand. That's what Benjamin means. But they found them not. They're looking for these asses and they don't find them. And when they were come to the land of Zuf, somebody say Zuf. Zuf means honeycomb. When they came to this place, this sweet spot, so to speak, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, let us return. They've come to the place where their answer is going to be. Are you with me? This is where their answer is. And Saul says, let's go back. How often do we step back and go back when we are just at the edge of receiving the word of the Lord? They come to honeycomb, and he says to his servant, come, let us return. Lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. Let's go back before they start worrying. So in essence, you sent to go look for something that is lost. You've not found it. And you say, let's go back before they start worrying about us. But I'm thankful for people that God brings into our lives that counsel us rightly. Every one of us needs somebody in our lives that will speak to us wisely. Because they have been led by the Spirit of God. In the midst of proper counsel, purposes are established. Wrong counsel can bring you to ruin. Proper counsel can bring you to your destiny. Amen? So the man says, let's go before they start worrying about us. And verse 6 says, and he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God. What city? Zuf. In the place of the honeycomb, the word of God. Are you with me? Where the word of God is, there is a man of God here, and he is an honorable man. All that he said cometh surely to pass. Now let us go hither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Let's go talk to this man of God so that we might find our way out of this mess. And Saul, for the first time, makes a very interesting statement that is wise. He says, Saul says to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels. I want you to take note of that. The bread is what? Spent. Our bread is gone. We don't have any bread. And there is not a present to bring to the man of God. In other words, saying, listen, we shouldn't be going any further. We don't have food. He's thinking about his tummy. But then he said, secondly, we don't have any present. We don't have a gift. We don't have an offering. We don't have something. We cannot give this man a good holy handshake. So let's go back. Let's go back. And the servant says, don't worry about that. Verse 8. And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. I have something. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. I'm going to give it to him so he can tell us our way. Verse 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the what? To the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Praise the Lord. Verse 10. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. And verse 11. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water and said unto them, is the seer here? Is the seer here? And watch the next statement. Watch the next statement. And they answered them and said, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today. Some say he came what? Today. He came what? Today. He came what? Today. That means yesterday he was not there. But he came today to the city. Hallelujah. For there is a sacrifice of the people when? Today. In the high place. Now, the servant of Saul said, there is a prophet. There's a man of God, an honorable man, right here. How does he know? How does he know? You see, when you are led by the Spirit of God, you make sense when you're not making sense. Hello? You say things that you don't have a natural way of knowing, but you say it. And God is in that detail. Hallelujah. God is in what? That detail. The devil is not in the detail. God is in the detail. Amen? Hallelujah. I said the devil is not in the detail. God is in the detail. You see, the devil is such a bad devil. He tells people the devil is in the detail, because he wants you to always think that no matter what good is happening in your life, bad is going to show up. Do you hear what I said? That's what the devil is about, to convince you in your mind that things cannot always be good. But God is in the detail. And where God is, there is liberty. Where God is, there is freedom. Where God is, goodness is. Verse 13. And as ye become into the city, as soon as ye become into the city, as soon as ye what? Become. Oh my. What on earth is going on? Why all of those extra words? Why not as soon as you come into the city? As soon as ye come into the city. As soon as ye come into the city. Why are they saying as soon as ye be come into the city? Because this journey was not an ordinary journey. The person that is standing before them is going to be a possessor of the city. And not just the city, but the nation. There are words that are spoken around you that tell you about your story. Now, when you hear a word that pulls you into a particular realm, listen. Attach to it. Connect with it. Because those words are not just there because God doesn't have something else to say. For example, in Acts 3 and verse 1, now come back here. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, the word of God says that Peter and John went up together, what? Into the temple at the hour of prayer. All we need there is went up together to. But it says into because there is a message. They had not gone into that place until much later. But in the realm of the spirit, you arrive before you arrive. Please hear what I'm saying to you. In the realm of the spirit, you arrive before you arrive. You get there before you get there. That may be a little bit confusing, but all I'm saying is that you are seated and the whole thing is finished before you get to do it. Because that is part of God's character. God finishes before he starts. If I ask you a question now, what are you going to do after you get here? What are you going to do after you get here? I'm going to tap on somebody to tell me what they're going to do after they get here. What are you going to do after you get here, Lindsay? After you leave this place, or after you leave here, what are you going to do? You're going to make lunch. You're going to make lunch. Now, when you said, I'm going to make lunch, what did you see? You saw yourself making lunch at home. Did you hear? Now, everybody here, when I asked that question, what are you going to do after you leave here, you saw yourself doing something. You, when you saw yourself doing it, you already arrived there. You are already there, but you are coming to it. Amen? So also in the realm of the spirit, God created you that way because that's how God operates. They saw themselves inside the temple at the time of prayer. Every other thing that happened were just consequential. Whether they knew about it or did not know about it, the arrival point is they entered into the what? Temple at the hour of prayer. They saw themselves already praying. They saw themselves already rejoicing. They saw themselves already glorifying God. And while they got there, at the gate was a problem. A lifelong problem. A problem that even went beyond the birth date of the person that was going to receive the miracle. A man who was 40 years old that was born crippled from his mother's womb. A man that Jesus had gone past who did not receive his miracle, but that day, God set that day, their steps being ordered, that day God met that man and they went together with that man into the temple. Are you with me? Well, the Bible already told you in verse 1 that they went into the temple. Because you got to arrive before you get there. Just like you have to be already worshiping God before you got here. Amen? Already reading the word of God before you got here. Aligning up with God's word and God's will for your life before you got here. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. Chapter 9, we stopped in verse 13. As soon as he be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him. These people already prophesying. They don't know this stuff. How do you know what's going to happen when you get into the city? They are already prophesying because that is the line. They came expecting a prophetic statement, and God is already using these young ladies who are going to fetch water to begin to speak prophetically into their lives. He says, you're going to find him before he go up to the high place to eat. You're going to find him before he goes to eat. Are you with me? For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterwards they eat that be beaten. Now therefore, get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. Next verse. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, just like the girls said, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came. A day before Saul came, God already told Samuel, spoke to him in his hearing. A day before Samuel got there. Why did God speak to him a day before? Because God had his agenda. Their steps were being ordered by God, and they thought they were looking for something. But the circumstance was leading them to God. God's will, God's purpose, God's destiny. Saying, verse 16, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. That's specific. And thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel. that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. A day before, God had already put things in motion. He said, I will send thee a what? I will send thee a man. God said, I will send. God said, I will what? Send. So you think the decisions that you are making is just because you decided. And God is saying, no, I'm in it. How did he send him? The man wanted to go home. And that declares something to my spirit that I declare to you, that you will not walk in error. Amen. Hallelujah. I said you will not walk in error. Amen. I say you will not walk in error. Even your mistakes shall be ordered steps of the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Things are happening behind the scenes. And I thought I was going to go back, and I was, and seventh, I thought I was the one who said we should go. But I said, we don't have any money and we don't have any food. But I said, you know, I have 25 cents or whatever. For every question and every statement that was made, and for every solution that was provided, there was the markings to lead. Because God was involved in it. Somebody say, Lord, be involved in every area of my life. In every area of my life, be involved. The steps of a righteous man is ordered of the Lord. Say, Lord, order my steps. 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 Your business relationships. God, order my steps. The restaurant where I'm going to eat at, Lord, order my steps. The place where I'm going to shop, God, order my steps. Order my steps. May I never take an erroneous step. Let every step I take be ordered of you. I am a child of destiny. I'm a child of destiny. I cannot waste my time. Amen. Hallelujah. Order my steps. You were born in that family for a reason. The day you were born was not a mistake. The parents you were born to, that's not a mistake. The issues that you're contending with, that's not a mistake. I know that the devil comes in and he tries to create confusion, but the word of God says, God will cause all things to work together for my good. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am not going to live my life in sorrow and in defeat and depressed and discouraged. Every day of my life is ordered of God. The class I am attending, that's ordered of God. I'm not talking about fatalism. I'm talking about connecting with God, because you see, in this regiment, it is either fruitfulness or a heap of ashes. You still have a choice. You still absolutely have a choice. I encourage you to choose right. The Lord says, he says, I place between you, before you, good and evil. I say, choose good. you want evil, you can have it. but I've got good available for you. That's why I say to you today, I want every one of us to begin to have a paradigm shift where we begin to believe God only for good. Only good things happen in my life. Bad things don't happen to me. Hallelujah. When your mind is shifted to recognizing that only good things, forget about Johnny. Bad things happen to Johnny. Okay, that's Johnny, that's not me. But everybody else is dying. Well, that's them, but that's not me. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, it's flu season. No, flu will fly away from me. It doesn't attach itself to me. Amen. Glory be to God. I am not part of that portion. And that thing is not part of me. Amen. Hallelujah. I choose good. So good that the Bible says that it causes all things to work together for my good. Amen? Because I am called according to his purpose. Amen? All things work together for good to them that love God. It's not for everybody. To them that what? Love God. To them that what? Love God. When you are a lover of God, all things work together for your good. Flour does not taste good by itself. And eggs don't taste good by themselves. Egg yolk doesn't taste good. You have to be a weirdo to like raw eggs. Huh? Even sugar doesn't taste good just by itself. But when you bring that, how many people try to drink well? Doesn't taste good. Butter doesn't taste good by itself. But bring the butter and the oil and the sugar and the flour, and lo and behold, yummy, yummy. Cake in my belly. Hallelujah. Individually, they don't taste that good. Bring them together, and what individual doesn't taste good, all of a sudden tastes good. Hallelujah. God is turning your life around already. All of your bad experiences, every one of them, God is going to cause it to become good. Verse 17. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I speak to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Saul thought he was going to look for some lost asses. But he did not know that God was directing him to a place where he was going to be affirmed as a leader. Verse 18. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate. He drew near. That is key. That he drew near. Moses drew near to see what was happening in that burning bush. There's the importance of drawing near. The woman with the issue of blood drew near. And the Bible says that he drew near to Samuel in the what? Gate. In the gate. In the gate. What are we talking about here? Where did this gate come from? No, gate represents a place of leadership. That's where the leaders of a city met to deliberate about what's going to happen in the city. So today we talk about the keys of a city. Who holds the keys of the city? The government of that city. Are you with me? I have upstairs in my office the keys to the city of Baguio in the Philippines, given to me. What does that mean? It means when you come into this city, you are my guest. You have access to what we've got here. All I need to do is carry my big key with me. And when somebody, a person sees that key, they say, okay. You got a key. Hallelujah. You got a key. And yeah, Samuel is, the Bible is telling us that he's at the gate. But go a few verses back. Go back to 16. I believe it's verse 16. And what does he say in verse 16? Verse 16, 1 Samuel 9 and verse 16. He said, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him. Oh, verse 15. I think that's where it is. Verse 15. Am I missing something? Okay, take me to 14. Maybe I should just look on my own. Let me see verse 14. Okay, and they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them. He came out against them for to go up to the what? High place. He came out. He was coming out. Hallelujah. He was doing what? Coming out. Those young ladies said what in verse 13? Or in verse 13? It says, in verse 13 it says, 1 Samuel 9, and as soon as ye come into the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go up to the what? High place. As soon as ye come into the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place. As soon as ye come into the city. As soon as you come. Huh? Are you with me? As soon as you come into the city. As soon as you cross over the threshold where you are right now, and you come into the city, you're going to find them. How do they know? Perfect timing that they were going to meet this man at the gate. Because God is a master strategist. What he wants this man to be, he's going to signify by what is happening around him. You are a leader. This is the group that you belong in. So I'm going to meet you at the gate. I want you to do yourself a favor. Track your life and see exactly who it is that God has been bringing you to. Because that's your story. Being formed. When many years ago, I was looking for my friends, I was in a school, looking for my friends, and I located them in a classroom. They were having a meeting of a club that was starting that particular day called the Young Farmers Club. And I came in and I sat way in the back waiting for my friends. And it happened to be that they were going to choose that day somebody to represent the school in the local government. And they turned around and everybody pointed at me and said, he's the one. He's going to represent us. I said, I don't know anything about Young Farmers Club. I don't know anything. We don't know either. But you guys have been here. You've been having your meeting. You are going to represent us. So they handed me a booklet. And I won for my local government. And the next thing, I'm representing my local government against all the other local governments in the state. And the representatives were not just going to be people in primary school all the way to university. Are you with me? So here is this little kid competing with people that are attending UFM or something like that, or Red River Community College. And I'm competing with all of them. And this guy in grade 6 wins. I thought I was going there to go find my friends. But now I am on this big stage competing with people from all kinds. And the queen was attending a college like Red River Community College. She was way older than me. So here's the king of the Young Farmers Club. And here's the queen. And the governor of the state was the one giving us the award. I got to meet the governor of my state. How did that happen? That's your future. And from that point on, I started connecting with kings, leaders, doors opening to create an atmosphere, to tell the story. There is a story being told about your life. You need to come into an awareness of it. Understand your environment. Because until you do so, you will think of yourself less than you should. Somebody listening? He met him at the gate. Somebody say, he met him at the gate. Because he's a leader. Because he is a leader. That's why. That's why. And God will bring people into your life that will create opportunities for you. Open doors for you. Hallelujah. I did not know it until not too long ago. I remember there was a meeting in this city of leaders and a prophetic conference. And the presence of God was so strong. Mom and I were there. We're just flowing. And God's presence was so strong. And somebody went and grabbed the flag of Canada. And here comes this prophetess of God. She dashes. I don't know who that person was, but I know it was some pastor. Goes, grabs that flag from that person, says, "That's not for you," and comes and puts it in my hand. You were there. That's how you came to this church, or one of the reasons why you stayed. You said, "The power of God hit me." That says something. That's a story being told. Your influence should reach this nation. Hello? I'm asking you a simple question. Where has God been taking you? Your story is being told. It's been written. Be very aware of what is happening. That drug addiction that did not destroy you, it is not happening because you're so tough. It is because God is anointing you to destroy the strongholds of addiction in other people's lives. You are in that particular situation to understand what's happening with other people so that you can break them free in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Don't get drowned by your circumstance. Learn from your circumstance and understand why it is happening, because you know only good things happen to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Take me to back to where I was, verse 17 or 18, whatever it is. And I'm going to begin to wrap up. So Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. Tell me where the seer's house is," he said. "Where's the seer's house?" And Samuel says to him, 19, "I am the seer. You don't need to go look for the house. I am here." Someone say, shortcut. Say it again, shortcut. One more time, shortcut. That you don't have to go looking, but that what you are looking for comes to you. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you are looking for comes to you. I declare in the name of Jesus that whatever you are looking for comes to you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. So he says, "Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let thee go, and I will tell thee all that is in thine heart." Next verse. "Well, as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them." Because a man is worrying. "My parents are going to be worrying." He said, forget about that. "Set not your mind on those asses that were lost, for they are what? Found." I declare in Jesus' name that everything that has been lost to you shall be found now in Jesus' name. That the reason for worry shall cease now in the mighty name of Jesus. That God gracious and mighty will cause glory to be revealed in every aspect of your life. That you will have no reason to worry or fret, because the glory of God is manifested in you and with you and for you in Jesus' mighty name. Receive it now. It's found. "And on whom is all the desire of Israel?" Let me tell you, you think you're looking for the lost thing, but really, you're the one that is lost. Oh my God. "What do you mean I'm lost?" Yeah, because you are not fulfilling your assignment yet. And I'm here to assign you to your assignment. Hallelujah. "And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee? And on all thy father's house?" The desire of Israel, what Israel has been desiring, is you. Me. Yes, you. Watch his next statement. And Saul answered and said, "Am not I a Benjamite?" Yes, you are. The son of his right hand. That's what his name is. But he is doing the ashes thing rather than the fruitfulness thing. "Of the smallest of the tribes of Israel." Oh, yeah, right. "And my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin." Who else told this story? A man called Gideon. The same Gideon with the poorest, with this, had his own personal 10 servants. 10 servants. God says, "Mighty man of valor." And he says, "No, we're the poorest of the poorest. I'm the ugliest of the ugliest." And God says, "No, you're the goodlier." Hallelujah. God's perspective and man's perspective. He's talking about how small and how belittled they were. And he says, "Wherefore then speakest thou to me? Why are you telling me this stuff, man? I'm none of this stuff that you're talking about." Oh, if you are not what he's saying, then you don't need to believe anything else. Go home. Don't give him the offering. God said that this will step into the season of the underdogs. He did not say. And just this Tuesday, I was in Houston. this Tuesday. And when the baseball stuff was happening with Washington Nationals and Houston Astros, I saw the Nationals. They've never been at this stage since 1923. They've not smelt this place. I looked at it, I said, it is done. The underdog is going to win. So the underdog went and won twice in Houston. They came home to Washington, they lost three straight. Three straight. The devil says, so the underdog is going. I said, well, God said the underdog. And so let's see what. They go back to Houston and won the next two games. How does that happen? Because God said the underdog. When God says something, the only thing you can take out of it is that you miss the timing of when God said he's going to do whatever it is that he's going to do. But whatever God says he's going to do, it is done. Amen? It is what? Done. So why are you telling me this? Nice verse. Oh my. I better move. And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. About 30 persons. He brings them and he puts them in the highest seat of honor. They thought they were going to look for lost access. And here they are being promoted. I thought I was going to Israel for a pilgrimage. And I'm sitting down there minding my own business. And my spiritual father calls me up to come pray. And as I'm coming, he says, this is my newest member of my board in Canada. I didn't even know what that meant. I was clueless. Okay, board in Canada. I thought it was just one of these general boards. Lo and behold, it's the board that runs his Canadian ministry. When I came down to congratulations, I said, what are you congratulating me about? And before you know it, I'm in his U.S. board. How did I get there? Because of a destiny. That's what I'm saying to you. God has a destiny for you, and God will elevate you. Amen. Get ready for your elevation. Amen. I said, get ready for your elevation. Amen. I said, get ready for your elevation. Amen. You may think you are a nobody, but God thinks you are a somebody. Amen. So he's there, 23. Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. 24. And the cook took up the what? Shoulder. And the government shall be what? So, are you with me? The things that are happening are telling the story. And I'm asking you, what is the story being told about your life? Where have you been tracking? Because where you have been is telling the story of your life. That's all I'm saying to you today. That you can hone in on what God has been doing. The places God is placing you. You can be in a group. 5,000, 10,000 people. And you are the one they come and they pick out. It's not by accident. It is not by accident. Who is, check your pictures. Who is it? No, I'm not talking about the person that you force yourself to. Can I please take a picture with you? Can I please take a picture with you? But who's showing up in your pictures? Not because you forced your way there. Think about it. Because when you start to connect at this level, things begin to change. Amen? Give me a few more minutes. I know I've kept you long, but give me a few more minutes. So they bring it. They eat. And the next day, let me skip ahead. The next day, chapter 1, 10, take it from 10, verse 1. He's anointed. So I say he's anointed. It says, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord had anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When he got anointed, he was also given dominion. Hallelujah. Somebody say dominion. God has made you captain, head over his people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When thou art departed from me today, he says, then shalt thou find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the bud of Benjamin at Zelzah. Hallelujah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorrowed for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward. Someone say, go forward. So first thing is dominion is established when he's anointed, and then restoration is declared. So I say restoration. Whatever it is that you lost has been found. You are going to hear people telling you what you lost has been found. What you lost has been found. What you lost has been found. It is now secure in the mighty name of Jesus. Then it says, then shall thou go on forward. Somebody say forward. That's progress. When the anointing of God comes upon your life, you are going to have progress. Amen. Amen. It says, from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. You're going to come to the area, the plain of Tabor. And this is an interesting word here, plain of Tabor. But Tabor means height. You won't come to the plain of height of the mount. You're going to come to a level that's going to start you up, going up to a higher dimension. Are you with me? Okay. And there shall meet thee three men going up to God. They're going up to God to what? Bethel, house of God. And another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. What were they short of? They were short of bread. Thank you. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread. They're carrying other things, but they end up giving you two loaves of bread. In other words, whatever it is that you are missing shall be restored unto you. Yeah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I say in Jesus' name, total restoration. Total restoration. Everything you've lost, everything that you've spent, restored back to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive it now. It says, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God. Hallelujah. So when they restored to him, they granted him favor. Someone say favor. The anointing releases favor into my life. So they receive favor. And then he says, after that, thou shalt come to the hill of God. I want to be brief with this. You're going to come to the hill of God, meaning that you're going to ascend. You're going to come up Tabor. You're going to come up this hill of God. Yes? Okay. What is the hill of God? What does God say is his hill? I want you to stop with me for a moment and consider this. Psalm 68 and verse 15. Psalm 68 and verse 15. I'm going to have to cut this short and pick it up tonight. And tonight, the oil of anointing is going to be released. Amen? And the things that are going to happen to Saul is going to happen to you and to me. It says the heel of God is as the heel of what? Bashan. The heel of what? Bashan. It's as the heel of Bashan. What does Bashan mean? Bashan means fruitfulness. Say fruitfulness. Bashan is fruitfulness. The heel of God is as the heel of Bashan. The heel of God is as the heel of fruitfulness. I declare in Jesus' name, fruitfulness for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every person hearing my voice right now. Fruitfulness. So I say fruitfulness. Say fruitfulness. Say again, fruitfulness. Say it again, fruitfulness. Now I'm going to read the next statement and I'm going to stop. Because there's two things we're going to accomplish today, tonight, by the anointing. It says, back to 1 Samuel 10, to where we stop. First Samuel 10, verse 5, 6, 5. And thou shalt come to the heel of God, which is as Bashan. Where is the garrison of the Philistines? Where is the garrison of the Philistines? The Philistines are the enemy of Israel. Where are they located? In the hill, in the hill of fruitfulness. Why? To make sure that you don't experience fruitfulness. Tonight, we shall break that stronghold. In the name of Jesus, I say that stronghold shall be destroyed by the what? Anointing. Because there, change is going to happen. And it shall come to pass when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall what? Prophesy. And what's the next statement? And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt do what? Prophesy alone with them, and shall be turned into another man. That's a change of status. There's going to be a lot of switcheroo tonight. I say there's going to be a lot of switcheroo tonight. Hallelujah, a lot of switcheroo tonight. There's going to be a change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Rise with me. Rise with me. Glory be to God. Father, we are truly excited about what you have already done. Lord, oh God, we step into our prophetic destiny. We come, oh God, into that place of wholeness. And we declare this day in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that the God who frees his people has freed us from every limitation, has shattered every stronghold, and upheld us with his right hand of righteousness. We declare, oh God, that your kingdom has come, your will even now done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Lord God Almighty, move mighty upon our lives. Do extraordinary things now. Oh, arise, O God, and let every enemy be scattered. Father, O God, this mountain shall not be occupied by the forces of darkness anymore. For this day, in Jesus' name, strongholds are torn down. Strongholds are torn down. Strongholds are destroyed. In the mighty name of Jesus, we step into our end time destiny and we declare that your kingdom has come. Your will is done. Heaven has come down, and heaven and the glory of heaven fills our souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. God is touching you right where you are. Hallelujah. He took the time and just went step by step. But the real message is where I just started some 10 minutes ago. That's the real message. So everything I did until about 10 minutes ago was an introduction. And tonight, we're going to complete the message of the Lord. Amen.